Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and with me via phone from Switzerland is our host, Chuck Bentley. Chuck, how do they say hello in Switzerland?
I'm not really sure, Dave. there's Swiss, German, and French that are sort of spoken and sometimes interchanged here. About the only word I recognize when people greet me is occasionally they'll say ciao.
Okay.
And I can understand that one.
Well, tell us briefly here at the beginning of the program, what are you doing over in Switzerland?
Well, Dave, I'm here to teach and be the host of our European Leaders Summit. We have leaders from 17 countries spread throughout Europe who have gathered here in Switzerland to make plans for how to be more effective in using the Crown Financial Ministries tools and resources in their countries, also to talk about creating more practical solutions for the specific needs in each nation, and to pray together and to really go deep with the Lord, asking Him to give us favor in some of these nations where it's just very, very difficult to be carrying out this work. What they have all affirmed for us, which is such good news, Dave, is that teaching about money is such a desperate need in all of their countries right now. And people don't care if it's Christianity. They don't care what it is, as long as it works. And so they are thrilled to be in partnership with us. And so many of the leaders that are here are actually involved in other ministry organizations that have a deep reach into their nation, and they use our resources as a part of their organization. So a lot of unity in the body of Christ here.
Well, Chuck, I want to talk more about this at the end of the program, but we have a guest today that I'm excited for our people to meet.
Well, we're going to interview Jim Hummelstein, who lives in New Jersey and is a frequent listener of our program. Recently wrote me and shared this story of what he learned from his mother and father as a child, and it was so compelling. So we asked Jim to come on the program today and share that story so that our listeners could enjoy the lessons that he learned as a child.
Well, we will be back with Jim Hummelstein right after this. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. This package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. With three colorful compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C, your kids will learn to give, save, and spend. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through a compelling story, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Help create the right financial habits in your children by investing in their future with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and many of you may remember it wasn't long ago that I asked you if you had learned any financial lessons from your mother or father, and if you had, I wanted you to share your story with me. Well, one of our listeners did just that, and I love this upcoming story. And I want you to meet Jim Hummelstein from Neptune, New Jersey. Jim, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck.
It is so good to have you on the program today. I can't wait for our listeners to learn from your life experience. So start with telling us a little bit about your family.
My parents both were born in Depression era in relatively poor households, and they were very much savers as when I was growing up, and did not believe in debt. And when I was a kid, as you mentioned in the story before, the toddler, we used to go downtown to deposit my father's paycheck every Friday, and I always wanted a toy, and from like the local five and dime. And my parents decided to give me an allowance around age two or three, which was probably like a quarter a week. And by the time I had reached seven, I had collected a reasonably large sum of money. And my mother convinced me to start investing in savings bonds.
So what was the profession of your mother and father? How did they make a living?
My father was a draftsman. He worked at a plant that built industrial forge hammers. And my mother was a first grade school teacher for about 35 years.
And what drove them to have this philosophy of being savers? What was it, the Depression that shaped their thinking? Was it biblical teaching? What shaped their ideas about money?
I'm sure it was both. As I said, my mother grew up on a farm in Oklahoma during the Depression, and her father passed away when she was actually he was a farmer, had gotten a blood clot and lost his leg due to the blood clot when she was, I believe, a teenager. They had to move off the farm into town, and she and her sister and her mother helped support the family by taking in laundry. My father's family, my grandfather was a managed department stores, and after my father had been in something like five or six first grade schools, my grandmother said, enough, we need to set down roots. And my grandfather was opened a shoe store and just had a little shop downtown. So they were always conscious of money and spending, and they never went into debt, to the best of my knowledge, when I was a child.
Now, what I'm fascinated with, Jim, is that you have learned lessons from your mother and father that have stayed with you. You did not stray from the plan. They taught you to be a saver, and you are a saver. But they had to have methods that transferred that to you that really made an impression. Tell me the story of when you were small and started to beg for toys. What happened that truly changed your mind?
I don't know what truly changed my mind. I think I started to see the value of money almost immediately. It wasn't a case of, oh, it's just an infinite resource. It was a finite resource. I could count it. I've always been fascinated with numbers. I'm a software engineer's profession now, so that's continued on with me. And it was the desire for the toy didn't match the value of the money that it was at that point.
All right. Now, Jim, how old were you when you started to learn this lesson? Because I'm playing with G.I. Joes at 3 and 4 years old, and I want more G.I. Joes. You know, you're totally off the page here for me. Something had to really be unique in the way your family communicated this truth to you.
You know, I don't know how much of it was uniqueness and how much of it of the family and how much of it was uniqueness for me. I mean, I saw the example from my parents. There was no rushing out and buying just because we needed it. In fact, we lived in an apartment for till I was around 16, and it was kind of like a duplex, except instead of being side by side, it was upper floor, lower floor. And our landlords were the couple below who were retired and became like second grandparents to me. And it got to be too much for them to manage. So when I was 16, my parents bought the house from them. And so they just didn't go out and buy a house because everybody else was buying a house. They stayed where they were. And actually, they paid for that house with cash. And my mother just sold it this past fall.
A very great story, Jim. Now, your parents gave you an option to either spend this money on toys or to start investing in savings bonds. What fascinated you about savings bonds?
My mother explained to me that I could buy a bond for close to $19, and then when I cashed in, they give me $25. And I just said, you mean they're going to give me money just for holding my money? And she said, yes, that's called interest. And it was like eye-opening to me. And so that became, I wouldn't say necessarily a goal, but when I had surplus money, I would invest it in the savings bonds for the future.
Now, did you actually go down to the bank and purchase these savings bonds, or did your family do it for you?
I went to the bank with my dollars and quarters and dimes and placed them down on the desk at the women in the back office, and they would count it out and put the savings bond in the manual or in the typewriter, type it out, give it to me, and we'd be on our way.
Now, I know today, Jim, you're married and you have a son. Tell us about Mary and Ryan.
Mary is a professional, and we've been married for 14 years. Ryan is 10 years old, soon to be 11. He's a great kid, and we have a lot of fun and enjoy him very much.
So you were taught these great financial lessons, and today you're facing a similar opportunity to pass those on to Ryan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I want to talk to you about this a little bit further, because you developed a habit that stayed with you all of your life. Did you ever stop buying savings bonds?
Yes, I did. I started buying them when I was at work, and I did that for several years, and then I stopped buying them mostly because I got a financial planner, and I kind of traded up into mutual funds and stocks at that time.
Well, I want to hear the rest of your story, Jim, because there eventually came a time when you found a toy that you couldn't resist, and you were prepared to make that purchase on your own. And that toy was actually a Radio Shack computer, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And that purchase made a major difference in your life, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Jim Hummelsine from Neptune, New Jersey. And when we come back, we're going to continue with wise lessons from our parents. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Jim Hummelsine. Jim, you were raised to be a persistent saver, and you started from a very young age. Your parents taught you the value of hanging on to money and not wasting it on toys, but there came a day when you saw a toy that you couldn't resist. You were an early adapter with a home computer. Tell us about going into Radio Shack and encountering this toy you couldn't live without.
When I was junior high and high school, I had the opportunity to take a one-week programming course at a local university, and I was hooked. It's like, this is what I want to do. The problem was there weren't a lot of computers out there. Around that time, Radio Shack came out with its first computer, and to give people an idea of its power, the basic unit was 4K of memory.
Oh, wow.
That's not meg, that's not gig, that's 4,000 bytes of memory.
Wow.
And I think the unit was around $600, and my father was reluctant. He thought it was potentially a waste of money. My mother brokered a deal where he would put up half the money and I would put up the other half, and where that money came from was the savings bonds. So my senior year in high school, I bought the Radio Shack computer, and I was able to play with it and learn all kinds of programming concepts. And I went on to get my college degrees in computer science, and that was a head start in the introductory computer classes. While the other kids were having to learn these concepts brand new, I already had a year's worth of experience of playing with them myself on my home computer.
Wow, what a great story, because as I hear you say that, and the wisdom that your parents had to not only ask you to prepare to save money, but also to be prepared to invest in your future and your own career. My G.I. Joes didn't do that for me, Jim. I mean, you were way ahead of me, and I see how God used that. Now, do you and Mary share the same financial values today?
Yes. I know you've often said opposites attract. That was not the case for us. We're very similar in our backgrounds with our parents and in terms of our dealings with money. And we joke that we knew it was really serious when we were dating when we exchanged balance sheets with each other.
So. Oh, that's great. Well, it's a great story to hear. Tell me a little bit about your parents and the lessons that you learned from them. Have you carried on any of the other practices that they modeled for you?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I actually expanded upon it because my parents were primarily savers. And that was it. I know from what you said, it was how you've described it. It was savings bonds and certificates of deposit.
Yeah, I like to describe it as that's not an investment per se. It's money you're setting aside and protecting. And then investing is when you put money at risk.
And I started with that model myself. But in my mid to late 20s, I took the next step to go into investing on my own. So I used them as their experience as a stepping stone to move further on. And interestingly enough, I pulled my mom up with me because now she's an investor as well.
I want to encourage our listeners because, and I don't want to embarrass you with this, Jim, but I'm assuming that today you're probably debt-free and you've experienced some abundance in your assets from this lifelong good financial habit.
Yeah, because of the lessons I learned from my parents and the lifestyle that we've both had, financial burdens have not been a great concern of ours. About 6 years ago, I was laid off for 8 months, and it was not a case of how are we going to pay the mortgage or anything like that. My wife was still working, and we were able to live off of one income, which was hers at that time.
Well, obviously, that's a place that we encourage all of our listeners to get to, Jim, and it starts with just the basics of doing the right thing every day over a long period of time. But now let's turn our attention to your son, Ryan. How are you going to pass this wisdom along to Ryan? What are some of the things you're going to do that continues this generational effort of being very wise with money?
We talked to him a lot about debt and credit cards, and we explained that we use our credit cards, but we pay them off every month, that it's just not magic, that there's real money going on under there. We talk a lot about saving for our retirement. We talk a lot about saving for his college education. So we may not necessarily go into great specifics in terms of sit down, son, this is what's in our checking book and so forth. But we try to sit down and talk more of common sense rules and behaviors to go through rather than explicit specific things.
Mm-hmm. So will Ryan be buying savings bonds?
That's up to him. We haven't gone that far yet. Actually, he has a bank account, and we put Christmas money and gift money stuff in there, and he knows how much that is. And he's, you know, sometimes we've said about, oh, you know, you've got money you can buy such and such for in your account. And he says, oh, but I'm going to need that for college. So he's getting the idea. He's got it down.
Well, Jim, are your parents still alive? Your mom and dad still alive?
My mom is alive. My father died about 14 years ago.
Well, the likelihood of her listening to this program is probably pretty great, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm going to send her a link to the show.
Well, why don't you just thank your mom today? I want you to take just a few seconds to thank her for going through the depression, for making those sacrifices, and investing this wisdom in your life. I know she has got to be blessed and so proud of what you and Mary have accomplished, and so thankful to the Lord for how you've carried that out.
Mom, I'd like to thank you for everything you've done, the lessons we learned, both you and Dad. I know there were hardships and things you gave up for experiences for me when I was growing up, both experiences that I had now, had then, and experiences that we have now and we're able to continue on. Thank you, and I love you very much.
Well, Jim Hummelstein, thank you for being our guest today. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Oh, that would be great, Chuck. Thank you.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
It can be a challenge at times to talk with your spouse about money. Husbands and wives have a harder time discussing finances than just about anything else. God doesn't want money to divide relationships. He wants your marriage and finances to grow stronger. Learn how in Money and Marriage God's Way, a new book from Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Howard Dayton. With unique sections for engaged couples, blended families, empty nesters, and even stay-at-home parents, Money and Marriage God's Way addresses common problems using biblical principles and practical advice. And as a bonus, there's a companion website with tools, including a thorough online assessment to help couples understand their financial personalities in order to work together and solve their money challenges and set financial goals. Get Money and Marriage God's Way at 1-800-722-1976. An audiobook is also available at 1-800-722-1976 and crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And with me via telephone from Switzerland is Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, your time right now, it's late, and you've had a long day.
Well, Dave, it is late here, and if I sound tired, you know why? I am. So I just didn't want to miss an opportunity to say hello to our listeners and to give them an update while we're here in Europe. In fact, I've interviewed some of our European leaders. I've got some wonderful broadcasts coming up as they have shared their stories with me. I've captured it, and we're going to be able to share those in the near future. But it has been a really, really encouraging time, Dave, to be here and to see how God is using Crown throughout Europe, all the way from the United Kingdom and across Russia as well, which is just amazing. And one of the things that they're all very excited about is the God Provides film learning experience. And it surprised me to find out why they're so enthusiastic. Number one, they love the quality. But many of the people that they're trying to reach are very reserved. They're very skeptical. In some cases, they're just hardened from the persecution and difficulty in the environment that they're in. And what they've found is that the films actually open people's hearts. They touch them. And when their hearts are touched, they're able to begin a dialogue about the Lord and about faith and about the Scripture. And they're proving to be really effective in this environment. And as you know, it was never the original thought that they would be used in Europe at all. We thought they would be used in nations where people could not read. Well, Europeans can certainly read. And in the early test, they've been watching them in English. And they cannot wait for us to get them translated into their languages so that the distribution can go far and wide. They are truly eager to get this new tool in their hands.
Well, for those people listening here in the U.S. that have not had an opportunity to preview these films, the folks in Atlanta and Chattanooga are going to have that opportunity coming up very soon. And Chuck, tell us a little bit about our God Provides Film Learning Experience event.
Well, we're going on tour in two cities coming up very, very soon. We're going to be in Atlanta and then in Chattanooga on a Thursday evening. We'll be there promptly at 7 p.m. and show two of our films. I'll teach, and we want to meet our listeners in that area. It's a family event. It will end at 8:30, so we'd love to know if you're coming. I truly do hope you'll make the effort to come out and see us.
Well, the dates again are February 11th at the Hebron Baptist Church in Tukula and February 18th at the Ridgedale Baptist Church in Chattanooga. And more information is available at crown.org/register. And Chuck, have a safe trip coming back. And we look forward to having you back in the studio with us.
Well, thank you, Dave. And I so appreciate all of our partners who make this ministry possible.
Well, that wraps up today's edition of Money Life. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks for joining us for today's broadcast.